I want to give a big shout out, a big thank you, and a little update about our prison yard event, our ministry yesterday down at Eddie Warrior. It's a women's prison, a women's correctional facility. This was our annual yard event there. And I tell you, it went great until it started raining. But let me tell you how good the Lord is. Started quite early yesterday morning. I had hamburgers and hot dogs and feed 1,000 inmates. And we were able to get in, get set up, and able to serve to the very last one. And so this is what I've got to tell you. They wanted me to come back and tell you thank you. Thank you for a hamburger and a hot dog, and thank you for coming out. I was reminded and probably just made aware of the fact I didn't realize how happy a hamburger and a hot dog can make somebody. And what a blessing it was to be able to do that. And now, of course, it started raining. So tomorrow, through our regular prison ministry, 1,000 inmates are going to receive the gift bags and things that are part of our ministry there to them. And that's something that your giving does. But this is what I also want to take a big shout out and continue to pray for our prison ministry and outreach. And we made a big impact, even though it was a shortened day. And we had about 50 volunteers that went. It was just an awesome day. I'd never been so wet, but it was just awesome. Now, we're watching the weather. So this is what I want to tell you. There were probably, I know, as the week was progressing and the weather reports were coming in, that it went from probably dozens of people to hundreds of people. And I imagine before yesterday came, there were literally over 1,000 people that were praying that it wouldn't rain. And guess what happened? It rained. And it rained. It didn't only rain. It really rained. And so as the last burgers and hot dogs are served, and of course the folks have to go back to their dormitories, and we just head for some cover, you know, we're a little disappointed. You know, it's wet, it's cold, but that's not the big disappointment. There was so much more that was going to happen the rest of that day that ultimately wasn't going to happen that day. And so we were just kind of disappointed. Disappointed in the fact that God didn't answer our prayer. My guess is there's a lot of people here today that you may not want to admit it, and you probably would never really tell another person and probably even want to say it out loud, but you're probably just a little bit disappointed with God that he just sort of let you down. You know, you prayed about this. You prayed about that situation. You prayed about that relationship. You prayed about that diagnosis. And you prayed with faith, and you trusted God, and he didn't answer. And my guess is that God seems so far away. The times I've noticed that God seems the farthest away from me is when he doesn't seem to answer the prayers how I want him to answer them, when I want him to answer them. It just seems like my prayer goes unanswered. And so if you have your Bible, there's two texts we want to share with you this morning. One is Psalm 10 in the Old Testament, Psalm 10, verse 1. And the other is in 2 Corinthians 12, 2 Corinthians 12. And so you can turn to Psalm 10 if you want. Then you can hold your finger right there at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You can take your sermon worship bulletin. You'll see the sermon notes there and have the scripture with you. And we're in this series called Always Near. And we're looking at these ways in which we can draw near to God and God draws near to us. And we're talking about the presence and the nearness of God. And so this is the foundational truth that we're working from. And that foundational truth is that God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with you, and he's done everything to make that possible. That's the message of the Bible. That's the truth of the gospel. And we've also noticed that in every relationship, you are either drawing nearer or drifting away. And that is true in our spiritual relationship with God. And so you are either drawing nearer to God and are closer to God than you've ever been before, or you are drifting away from God, and you may not be as close to God, and you may be further away from God than you've ever been before. But relationships are not static. They change, and that's true spiritually with our relationship with God. And so we're always asking ourselves, as we're growing spiritually, am I drawing nearer to God? Is this relationship stronger? Is he close to me? And we talked about then already two ways that we can draw near to God. One is listening to God. God speaks to us through his word. We talked about that. He speaks to us through other believers and teachers. He speaks to us through impressions. Talked about last week, he'll even speak to us through our pain. God has a variety of ways in which he'll speak to us. And we take the word and run everything through that as God's authoritative word to us. But then we also draw close to God as he speaks to us. And we talk about that as connecting with God. That is prayer. A.W. Tozer gave this quote. It was so powerful. A.W. Tozer said, the chief purpose of prayer is to realize the presence of your heavenly Father. Now, if you stop for a moment, think about it. It's so profound and so true. Because my guess is that most people think that the chief purpose of prayer is to get what you want, to change something that you don't like. But when you begin to think of prayer as talking to God and see it as the chief purpose of prayer is to realize the presence of God, as that relationship then is forged with communication, then you realize that prayer then is connecting with God. This is how we connect with God through prayer. And so we connect with God through prayer. Psalm 145:18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And so basically what it tells us there, as we call out to God, as we pray to God, he is near to us. But then we have things happen. And God doesn't seem so close because we called out to him, and we took those stunning prayer promises of the Bible. He'll give us anything that our heart desires if we have faith and trust in him. And we just thought that this is what that God must want because this is what I want so much. And then you take a verse like that, and then you contrast it with a verse like Psalm 10, verse 1. Why, Lord, do you stand far off? You know, why, Lord, are you so far off? Away. You know, Lord, why don't you talk to me? You know, Lord, where have you gone? Why are you standing so far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Because I really need you to show yourself. This isn't a time to hide yourself. This is a troubled time. And Lord, why are you hiding here? And here the psalmist David is just in an honest moment of vulnerability saying, you know, I'm praying to God. And my prayers don't seem to be making any difference. God doesn't seem to be listening. God isn't answering. God seems so far away. God seems far, far away in times of trouble. Because we seem to think that somehow if we live a life of obedience and we're close to God, we get blessings that come. And we don't think we should have any trouble coming our way. But when those times of trouble come, it feels like we've sort of disconnected from God. And then now this relationship now is we seem to be far apart here. And when we pray and there is no answer. And this is when prayer becomes more like an intense struggle than it does an intimate relationship. I mean, we're just having trouble here communicating. And can I just tell you? The miracle of answered prayer is exciting. It's exhilarating. It'll make the hair on your back of your neck stand up. It is so inspirational. Man, when you listen to someone tell their prayer testimony, how God showed up, answered their prayer, or better yet, you give your testimony. Man, this is how God showed up, answered my prayer. I mean, that is exciting. So this miracle of answered prayer is awesome. But on the other hand, that mystery of unanswered prayer, well, that's sort of disappointing. And the truth is, it's very discouraging. It's so discouraging. Unanswered prayer will cause us to doubt that God has really heard our prayers, cares about us, somehow God has sort of hidden himself and that God can even answer prayer, and he's drifted away from us. You know, of all the things that weigh us down, I think perhaps this burden or this mystery of unanswered prayer, there's none greater than sort of this silence from God. For example, you know, a godly mother prays for a wayward son. He was raised in the church. He went to Sunday school. He knows the Bible. But when he left home, he sort of left that faith behind too. And for many years, his mom has just been pouring out her heart in prayer for him. But to this day, he just stays so far away from God. Or there's a wife that's praying for her husband, who left her after 23 years of marriage for someone that was younger, and someone that made him happy, and someone that really couldn't do what does for him what she couldn't do anymore. And he seems utterly unreachable. And the marriage just heads for divorce, even though she prays desperately it won't happen. Or there's a husband that's praying for his wife. They've been told that it's terminal cancer. She has 6, maybe 7 months to live, and none of the treatments seem to be making any difference, these rampaging tubers in her body. And the deacons come, and the pastor comes. They anoint her with oil and pray over her in the name of the Lord, and yet she dies 5 months later. There's a young man that prays fervently for deliverance from this overpowering temptation. He's vowed he'll never do that again. This will be the last time. I'll never do that again. But the struggle keeps coming. It never seems to end. And the more he prays, the worse the temptation becomes. And then ultimately, we just get to a point where we cry out to God. Well, God, why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? This is kind of like the problem that no one really ever talks about. It's this struggle with unanswered prayer. And so here's the question. Does God always answer our prayers? You've heard it, I've heard it, I've said it. God always answers our prayers. Now, he either answers them in one of three ways. He'll either answer our prayer yes, and that's cool, and that's really great when that happens. Sometimes he answers wait. You know, you kind of get a not yet, but wait. That's not as cool. Sometimes, you have to say, well, he just answered your prayer, but he answered with a no. And it's not great at all, a no. But really, when you think about that answer to that question, I don't think that really sort of does much for any of us. Here's the real question we're probably asking when we ask this question. It's that, does God always answer our prayers the way we want? Well, the answer, well, no, he doesn't always answer our prayers the way that we want. When we talk about unanswered prayer, what we're talking about is, well, he didn't really answer my prayer the way that I wanted him to answer my prayer. And so the problem is, if there is a God, if he really answers prayer, why doesn't he answer my prayers? Why does he answer my prayers? Why does he answer my prayers the way that I want him to answer them? Well, there's a lot of different reasons why our prayers don't get answered all the time in every way that we want them to be answered. But let me just share a couple. Let me give you one here. Just one reason that God sometimes does not answer our prayers the way that we want him to answer our prayers is because we have sin in our lives. We have unrepentant, unconfessed sin in our lives. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. And it really is a broken relationship. There may not never have been a relationship. And we're not coming from the basis of a relationship with Christ. And so if that might be the case, I just want to be sure to remind some of you today, maybe the reason that there's not an answer to your prayers is that there may be sin in your life. And if there is sin in your life, there's no greater opportunity than to take care of that sin and confess it and draw near to God. As you draw near to him, then confession of sin, then that relationship can be strengthened. It can begin it can be repaired. And you begin praying from that relationship with God to answer your prayers. But let me just give you two on your outline. Why does God sometimes say no? Why does God sometimes say no? The first reason is because he sees the bigger picture. God sees the bigger picture. In other words, he has a much broader, bigger perspective than we have. And so when we pray, we always need to remember that we pray from a very limited perspective. That we only know what we know, and we can kind of figure out what we can figure out. And so we pray with our limited understanding, our limited knowledge, where on the other hand, God knows all the implications, all the consequences of our prayers. And just as any loving parent often will tell a child that they love with all of their life, no. No. And the reason we tell them no is, well, they're a child, they don't understand, and if we give this to them, it will maybe be more harmful to them, it might hurt them, the consequences would be so life-changing and life-altering. And so even as a parent knows the consequences and the possible implications, God knows those in a far greater way as we pray to him. Sometimes he gives us a very loving no. Proverbs 2:8 says, he guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. And so God provides for us, he protects us, even when it comes to answered prayer. Sometimes in God's broader picture, big perspective of things, he says no. The second reason that he doesn't always say yes and sometimes says no is because he has a better plan. He has a better plan that ultimately results in a greater purpose. And so when we pray, it's not just that we want God to answer our prayers, but, you know, when we pray, we want God to answer our prayers how we want him to answer them. And we want him to answer them when we want him to answer them. But God sometimes can take our prayers, says, I've got a better plan than what you're asking. You know, you don't even know sometimes what you're asking for or what you're wanting. Or you can't see the bigger picture. Sometimes we have to realize that an unanswered prayer and a God's no is, it's not rejection. It might just be redirection. And then we realize, well, man, I'm so glad that didn't happen because God directed me this way and that happened. You know, you've been praying, you know, you might could tell a single person here today. You know, you'd be praying for a spouse, and you've had time after time that seems to end up not as you wanted. You just pray, why isn't this the one, God? I thought this was the one. But I can tell you that God's no always leads to a better yes. And it's all because God's got someone better for you, the right person he has for you. It can be in every way that, you know, he just has something better, so he redirects us. Or God's no is not punishment, but it's preparation. And that he is preparing us for what he's called us to do, what his purpose is for our lives, and sometimes we have to learn that through some hard pain and suffering that is meant to make us more like Christ. And so it's not punishment, it's preparation. It's God is saying, I'm going to answer your prayer in the way that will bring the greatest glory to me and be the greatest good for you. You know, Peter said in 1 Peter 1:7, it says, you know, test and grow our faith through these times. Lord, why are you testing me like this? And God responds, well, will you trust me? It might be he's just growing our faith. Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians 4. Paul says, therefore, we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart. Skips down to verses 17 and 18. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so Paul in his spiritual discipleship process and maturity in his suffering says, you know what I'm experiencing now, and it was bad. He said, but compared to what I'm going to experience in eternity, really it's small. That eternity outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. They said there is always the bigger picture, the greater purpose, and he wants us to be aware of that, and so he may have a better plan. And so we come to realize that as we pray and we deal with these things, that there are some things that we just may never understand. We'll just never understand them. That a sovereign God has allowed these things, permitted these things to happen. We prayed, but God said no. And we never really are going to understand. And can I tell you, there are some things that are never going to change. This is never going to change. But God says, trust me. Don't stop praying. As you pray, you'll draw closer to me. You come into my presence. You become near to God. And that ultimately is the purpose of our prayer. And God says, I'll take you through that. So what I want to do is I want to give you one example in a few minutes we've got left of, I think, maybe the greatest unanswered prayer in all of the Bible. And as you go through the Bible and you look at the prayer life of all the great heroes of faith, you know, you can start just looking, you can begin ticking them off. Moses, David, so much unanswered prayer. David had a child he prayed that wouldn't die. That came out of a relationship that was of a sinful, illicit relationship, but David prayed the child wouldn't die, and the child died. Jesus even prays in John 17 for the unity of the church and believers. And I got to tell you, I don't know if that prayer's even been answered. And so every believer deals with what we call God's no or an answered prayer. But over in 2 Corinthians, you find the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul just sort of stands at the top of the list as you know, super Christian. I mean, he is an apostle to the Gentiles, a missionary, writes about half the New Testament. I mean, you know, he's right top of the list. But he writes this letter to the Corinthians, and this third, it's 2 Corinthians we have, it's really his third letter to them, and he's writing to them, and he just sort of gives us insight to what's going on with him personally. And he says, you know, I had this experience, had this vision of heaven. I was taking him to the third heaven, and man, you just couldn't believe all that was, that I could say. I don't have words to express it. But then he says in verse 7, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. So I can just tell you, there's a lot of debate on what this thorn in the flesh is. Some think it may have been a person that was just an antagonist to Paul, and this person was this huge thorn in the flesh to him, and he's just always a conflict and causing him problems in his ministry. That could be. More likely, it seems to be that Paul had some kind of physical ailment that he was dealing with. Good evidence suggests that Paul had trouble with his eyesight, and his eyesight resulted in blinding headaches. And so Paul had maybe severe migraine headaches. You know, some of his letters you read the end of them, he says, you know, I've taken up the pen with my own hand. So he's a scribe, had been writing, taking dictation. And he says, see with what large letters I write with. And so I can see my own letters, I have to write large. Whatever it is, Paul says, this is a thorn in the flesh, and it is tormenting me. So what do you do about a thorn in the flesh that you're tormented with? Well, you pray about it. And so he said, that's what I did. I prayed about it. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, I think he prayed about it probably 300 times. But I think he's got in mind here, there were three intentional, intense times, prolonged times. I mean, I'm begging God like I never begged before. Take this away. Lord, heal me. Three times I pleaded the Lord to take it. But he said to me, no. He said, no. Well, he didn't say it that way, but that's what he ends up saying. He said it this way. My grace is sufficient for you. My grace is all you need. My power is made perfect in weakness. So Paul, I'm using this for my glory and for your good. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about, Paul says, I'm going to boast about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And he realizes now, because of this thorn in the flesh, that he would just about give anything to be gone. God says, no, I'm using it for my purposes. Paul then brings himself into a trusting relationship. So God, I understand, I submit to you. Your power can rest upon me. And then he says, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so God says, no, I'm not answering that prayer the way that you're asking me to answer that prayer. So what do you do when God says no? What do you do when God says no? Well, what I have noticed, raising kids and having even grandkids, that you ever notice how little kids, when you tell them no to something they want, can throw a temper tantrum? Your kids may not, but ours would. You know, little kids, you don't get what you want. Well, you just throw a fit. Baby Christians do too. They just throw a fit. God, what's wrong with you? Where are you? He can't trust you. So here's what happens when God says no. Number one is you trust that everything God does is out of love. You just trust that everything God does is motivated out of love. And you just hold on to the fact that God is a loving God that does everything out of love towards us. Psalm 25:10 says, all the ways of the Lord are loving, and he's faithful towards those who keep the demands of his covenant. God acts in love toward us, even in the most painful things of life. That's why Paul said in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, those who have a relationship with him, who've been called according to his purpose. So what do you do when God says no? Well, you trust and you hold on to the fact in faith that God does everything motivated out of love. Second, is when God says no, you expect God to give you the grace that you need. He may not give you what you're asking for, but you expect him to give you the grace that you need, the strength to handle the no, the not yet, not now, not the way that you want it, not when you want it. And so that's where Paul came. He said, you know, God says no, and at least not now. And he comes, well, I'm going to give you the grace that you need to do that. And that's what it says in Psalm 19. Those who know your name trust in you, for you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. And so when you seek God, he seems so far away. He's not answering the prayer. The circumstances aren't changing. This isn't getting better. Isn't that God is far away and he's not punishing you? And there probably is nothing wrong enough because he's close to the brokenhearted. He's just saying, just trust in me. Trust in me. I'm going to give you the grace that you need. On Philippians 2, Paul says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. It may be that God is at work in you, giving you the power to work through that, as it may be a testimony. Maybe he's molding you and changing you. God works through that. You know, sometimes, oftentimes, it is better for us that our prayers are not answered the way that we pray them, or they're not answered immediately. Sometimes it's best if they're not answered at all. The great question then is not, how can I get my prayer answered? The great question becomes, how is this going to draw me closer to God? How can I draw closer to God through this unanswered prayer? You know, I read one time a prayer some words that were attributed to a Civil War soldier who died in battle. You may have heard them before, but they found there in his coat, he just written these notes. He said, I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. He says, I was given infirmity that I could do even better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy. I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing I asked for, but everything that I had hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among men the most richly blessed. You know, it's a great spiritual advance and understanding and maturity to be able to say, I got nothing I asked for, but everything I had hoped for. And that might be where you are this morning. So if you're praying about something and you're just about ready to give up, I'm going to encourage you, you know, keep on praying. Don't give up. Draw into the presence of God. Draw near to Him. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing that. And if you maybe you're a little disappointed with God, even a little bit discouraged, ready to quit and throw in the towel, keep praying. Keep trusting. Don't give up on that. Let His power be evident in your weakness. I'm going to ask you to bow and pray with me this morning. And as we pray, there could be that you do have some sin in your life. And if you want to come and pray about that, or even where you are, just confess that sin, ask the Lord to take it out of your life. He'll do that for you this morning. I'll meet you right down here and pray with you. Any questions you might have. And for all the rest that I can say here this morning, maybe you're here and you're just struggling here, you know, with something. You think, why doesn't God do something? Maybe He spoke to you through His word today that He just wants you to trust that He loves you. And everything that's happening, He's motivated by love. Maybe it's just a prayer that He'll give you the grace that you need. Father, we often think that you probably aren't even listening to us, that you don't even hear us. And even if you were, it's often easy for us to think you just probably say no. But we come before you today more convinced than ever that we are in your wise, loving, and caring, and powerful hands. We're convinced that we can trust you. We're convinced that every no is in some way a better yes. You said you would not withhold no good thing from those who love you. And so thank you for letting us ask. Thank you for letting us know that your desire is truly for our ultimate good. And Father, may we trust you even more and pray even with greater faith, knowing that you want to be glorified through the prayers that you answer for us. And Father, you answer them in your way. And so Father, we pray and trust in you that you'll draw close to all the brokenhearted today. Father, thank you for the hope that we have and being able to listen to you and to speak to you. And draw close to us today. And it's in Christ's name we pray.